You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the globe to bring you the latest developments in medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja. We love the earth. It's time for the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville. Now, here's your host, Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Wednesday, April 18th, 2018, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the program, and a happy early 420 to all the listeners and viewers out there in YouTube and podcast land. So glad to have you aboard for what is turning out to be a national holiday. It's almost 420 has almost jumped the shark, don't you think? I mean, used to be 420 was something only we knew about. It was our little secret code. It was surreptitious. It was on the down low. It was all counterculture and... Well, now it's pretty mainstream. You're seeing it in commercials. You're seeing regular references to it. And it used to be when they'd refer to 420, they'd then go into the obligatory explanation of what 420 was. They don't even do that anymore. It's now just understood by the culture at large. And that leads us to today's program, which is going to be a very special 420 edition of the Marijuana Agenda, because I brought together five marijuana activists from very different points of view to discuss the basic premise. Are Republicans taking over the marijuana issue? We recently heard President Donald Trump, who acceded to the demands of Senator Cory Gardner, a Republican in Colorado, and said that he would support states' rights to marijuana. He would tell the DOJ to lay off the states that have legalized recreational and medical marijuana, and he'd support any bill that came through Congress to end federal marijuana prohibition. We also heard of John Boehner, the former Speaker of the House, getting involved with a marijuana business. So it's a legitimate question, and to discuss the issue, I've brought forth five people. Like I mentioned, we'll have Morgan Fox, the communications director for the Marijuana Policy Project, on the program. We've also got Justin Striegel, the political director for the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, NORML. We've got a Canadian activist, one of the best ones up there, Jody Emery from Cannabis Culture. She's been on numerous programs and spoken before Parliament. We've got Eben Thampy, who is a forfeiture activist from the Midwest, and Chris Goldstein, with Philly.com. He's an instructor at Temple University on marijuana. Also, basically the creator of the job I have today, the original podcaster for NORML. That's coming up for the rest of this hour, but first, let's get to the news.
This is your Cannabis Headline News, brought to you by MarijuanaMoment.net, the complete source for all your marijuana news in one morning newsletter from Marijuana Majority founder Tom Angel. Subscribe today for free at MarijuanaMoment.net.
This is your Cannabis Headline News for Wednesday, April 18th, 2018. I'm Russ Belville. Maine legislators on Tuesday sent a bill that would finally allow marijuana retail sales, as voters demanded, to Republican Governor Paul LePage, who has vowed to veto it. LePage, who vetoed a similar bill last fall, recently said he'd veto the latest bill because it doesn't create a single program for both medical and recreational marijuana.
If marijuana is legal, you can have medical, you can have agricultural, you can have retail, you can make beer with marijuana if you want. If it's legal, it's legal. So why do you need to have medical?
Votes in the House and Senate suggest lawmakers may have the two-thirds support needed in each chamber to override a veto. The bill also eliminates marijuana social clubs, reduces the number of plants that people can have from 6 to 3, and prohibits sale near schools. LePage has 10 days to sign, veto, or let the bill go into law without his signature. Pharmaceuticalized cannabis is one step closer to being approved by the Food and Drug Administration. British drug maker GW Pharmaceuticals is seeking permission to sell its purified form of cannabidiol, or CBD, as a medication for rare, hard-to-treat seizures in children. If successful, the company's liquid formula would be the first government-approved drug derived from the cannabis plant in the U.S. The FDA posted its review of the experimental medication Epidiolex ahead of a public meeting Thursday, when a panel of outside experts will vote on the medicine's safety and effectiveness. It's a non-binding recommendation that the FDA will consider in its final decision late June. Patients taking the treatment had fewer seizures, according to the FDA's internal review posted online. Scientists concluded that GW Pharmaceuticals' submission, quote, appears to support approval, end quote, despite some potential side effects, including risks of liver injury. Attorney General Jeff Sessions today announced that the Drug Enforcement Administration has proposed new rules that would affect its limits on annual opioid production. Under the new rules, DEA will take into consideration the extent that a drug is diverted for abuse when it sets its annual opioid production limits. If DEA believes that a particular opioid or a particular company's opioids are being diverted for misuse, then DEA would be able to reduce the amount that can be produced in a given year. Further, the rule would allow DEA to set its annual limits using information not only from its own automation of reports and consolidated order system, but also from the Department of Health and Human Services, the FDA, the CDC, Medicare and Medicaid, and the states. Bloomberg reports that Scotts Miracle-Gro agreed to acquire the top U.S. distributor of hydroponics products for $450 million in cash and stock, a transaction that will more than double its sales to cannabis growers. Chief Executive Officer Jim Hagedorn is making the company's largest ever transaction as he continues his three-year transformation of Scotts, the largest maker of lawn and garden products, into a force in the cannabis industry. Nine states and the District of Columbia now allow recreational pot use, and the industry is expected to reach $75 billion in sales by 2030. As more legalized marijuana, according to Cowan and Company. Scotts agreed to pay $425 million cash and $25 million in shares for closely held Sunlight Supply Incorporated, the Marysville, Ohio-based company said in a statement Tuesday. Sunlight will merge into Scotts Hawthorne Gardening Company unit. Dr. Sanjay Gupta is at it again with another episode of his groundbreaking weed documentary series on CNN. In the fourth installment of his groundbreaking series, CNN chief medical correspondent Dr. Sanjay Gupta takes an in-depth look at marijuana's potential as both an alternative to opioids in treating pain and in ending opioid addiction. Weed 4, Pot versus Pills, will air on CNN Sunday, April 29th at 8 p.m. Eastern. In the special, Gupta meets pioneers in the field of pain management as well as addiction research professionals who believe that marijuana is the next best hope for treating both. He also speaks with those who have struggled with addiction, including an exclusive interview with NFL running back Mike James. Gupta also visits Maine, where lawmakers and residents are committed to cannabis as a way to get people off of opioids. He speaks with a woman who is opening a rehab center where she will use cannabis to wean patients off of opioids. This has been your Cannabis Headline News for Wednesday, April 18th, 2018. I'm Russ Belville.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville. The Marijuana Agenda free podcast is available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, SoundCloud, and on our Facebook page at MJ Agenda. Free video archives are available at the Radical Russ channel on YouTube. Help keep this media free by making a donation at paypal.me/Radical Russ. The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
We've got to reestablish first a view that you should say no. People should say no to drug use. They got to protect themselves first.
Whatever you're smoking, it's not marijuana.
Weed.
Pot.
Edibles.
Trees.
Dabs.
Loud.
It helps my anxiety.
My cramps.
My appetite.
It allows me to slow my thought process.
It helps me feel balanced. It gets me going.
It helps me feel normal.
More social. I just like it.
It's fun.
It smells good.
Okay, I love it.
But I don't drive.
I don't drive.
I don't drive.
I never drive high.
No matter why.
It's still a DUI.
DUI doesn't just mean booze.
Looking for the 420 friendliest way to visit beautiful legal potland, Oregon?
I'm Lori Duckworth, inviting you to come stay with us at Delta 9 House and Studios.
You get your own private room with queen bed and access to our high-speed Wi-Fi, premium entertainment system, and more.
We'll even cook you breakfast. Look us up on Facebook at Delta 9 House.
That's facebook.com/Delta9House. Delta 9 House is booked through Airbnb.com, City of Portland, permit number 17-159855.
People can say no to drugs.
It's really, really easy.
Adding more gasoline to the fire.
Lackadaisical.
Really tough, really big,
really great to infect and rot our nation.
Dangerous and gateway drugs.
We don't need to be legalizing marijuana.
To build and grow a stronger, healthier, and drug-free society.
Well, today in What in the News, we are taking an extended look at the politics of marijuana as we approach this 420 holiday this weekend. And we may be seeing a seismic shift in the politics of marijuana. Now, the drug war itself, let's not forget, has been a bipartisan issue. Of course, Nixon starts the drug war in the 1970s, going after the hippies and the blacks. But it's also been bolstered by the Democrats. In the tough-on-crime 1980s, Joe Biden, the former vice president, was a senator at the time, was the architect of many of these drug war atrocities, like the mandatory minimums. Tip O'Neill, the Speaker of the House at the time, rushed a lot of these bills through and gathered a lot of Democratic support because he was from Massachusetts, where Len Bias, who was a number one draft pick for the Boston Celtics, died from a cocaine overdose. And that led to a moral panic that got the Democrats on board with these tough on crime measures. And don't forget, of course, Bill Clinton with the crime bill in the 1990s. But by and large, when you talk about marijuana legalization, marijuana reform, support for medical, it's traditionally been Democrats who've been more in favor. Democratic voters, at least, if not the Democratic officials themselves. And Republicans, especially the social conservative types, hate weed. It was all about the hippies and Vietnam and left-wing politics. So that's been the blueprint ever since I've gotten involved, and long before that, was you tend to find more support on the left. However, last week, we got some news that was pretty shocking to those of us who have been doing this for quite a long time, and that is Senator Cory Gardner, a Colorado Republican, has been putting a hold on all of Donald Trump's judicial nominees. Now, if you don't know about this, Donald Trump, you can say all you want about Donald Trump, he has been incredibly successful, more successful than any other president in history when it comes to appointing judges. He is packing the federal courts. And of course, part of why he's able to pack the federal courts is for 8 years during the Obama administration, Mitch McConnell obstructed all of Barack Obama's judicial nominees. There are a lot of open seats to fill now that Trump is in charge. He's been filling these seats with highly conservative and questionably qualified judges. There's a famous viral video of one of them being not even being able to answer that he ever tried a case in his life, never been a judge or been in a courtroom in his life. So Trump has been filling up these judicial seats, but Cory Gardner, the senator from Colorado, put a hold on him. Now, this is a procedure in the Senate where one senator can muck up the whole thing, and he's been doing it. He put a stop on filling those seats, saying to Trump, I'm not going to let any judges through until you give me some assurance here that you're going to be holding to your campaign promise of states' rights to marijuana reform. Trump said that a lot in the campaign about being states' rights, and Gardner wanted to make sure that he held to it. Well, this last weekend, we got word from Senator Gardner's office that Trump had gotten a hold of him and given him assurances that the Department of Justice would be told to stand down, that Jeff Sessions would not be going after the state legal marijuana, and that he would support any effort coming through the Congress to change those laws. And the press secretary, Sarah Sanders, confirmed this.
We're always consulting Congress about issues including states' rights, of which the president is a firm believer, and the statement that the senator put out earlier today is accurate.
So we've got Trump seemingly states' rights on marijuana, vocalizing it for the first time during his administration. And the other news we got over the weekend was John Boehner, the former Speaker of the House, who was, quote, unalterably opposed to marijuana legalization back in 2011, is now getting on the board of a cannabis business company, Acreage Holdings, that has 35 licenses in 11 states. So we've got this former Speaker of the House, conservative. We got Donald Trump, the Republican. We've got 9 legal states already. There are more to come. And we're getting all these pronouncements from the financial projections that this multi-billion-dollar industry is set to get to $75 billion by 2030. There'll be more money spent on marijuana in America than soda pop by 2030. So the question is, for our 420 special, are Republicans hijacking the marijuana issue? And if so, does it matter? If greed gets the laws changed, if greed ends the arrests, does it matter? So I reached out to five activists who've been in the trenches fighting to change these marijuana laws. Morgan Fox, the communications director for the Marijuana Policy Project, Justin Streichel, the political director for Normal, Jody Emery from Cannabis Culture up in Canada, Chris Goldstein, who's a marijuana writer for Philly.com, an instructor at Temple University, and a longtime Normal activist. Also, full disclosure, he basically created the job I have today. He was Normal's original podcaster when I took over for him in 2008. And Ethan Thampy, who's a Midwestern activist who's been fighting on the asset forfeiture front. And I have complete unedited interviews with all five of these folks. I'll be posting them on the Marijuana Agenda page. And for those VIPs who are subscribed to Toker Talk Radio, those of you paying $4.20 a month or more, you'll be able to download the full unedited interviews. But for now, we'll just give you some of the highlights of the interviews. And I started by asking Marijuana Policy Project's Morgan Fox if he was shocked by Trump taking up this issue. Is it crazy that Trump's doing this? And does this signal a shift in the GOP party ideology on marijuana?
Well, Trump actually said this on the campaign trail, multiple times coming out in favor of medical marijuana and allowing states to determine their own policies in terms of overall marijuana laws. So I guess it's not too surprising. What is surprising is that the issue actually rose to the level of him mentioning it. Traditionally and throughout this administration, we just didn't think that it would really get on Trump's radar at all. And I think that the only reason it did was because of the leadership of Cory Gardner and, strangely enough, a lot of other Republicans in Congress who seem to be stepping up where Democrats have been a little bit unwilling to take leadership roles when it comes to promoting marijuana policy reform.
Of course, we do have to take it with a grain of salt because Donald Trump has said a lot of things. Donald Trump said he wanted to help the DACA kids. Donald Trump said he's not going to get involved in Syria. He's going to pull out of Syria. Now we're bombing Syria. So there could be a flip-flop, couldn't there? This is something I brought up to Morgan as well. Couldn't Trump flip-flop on this issue?
Well, I mean, we all know how much the administration tends to flip-flop on statements and policy positions. But considering this one is consistent with his positions before being president, I don't think that we're necessarily going to see a reversal on it anytime soon.
Now, this is something I brought up as well with the political director for the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, Justin Streichel, who offered a similar take to Morgan Fox from MPP that we can't really just go by Donald Trump's words alone.
Donald Trump's words are only going to be meaningful should Congress put legislation on his desk and give him the opportunity to sign it. So we hope that this is going to be a signal to Republican leadership in Congress that now is the time to move forward on legislation that removes federal enforcement for marijuana policies from the Controlled Substance Act and allows states to move forward.
And this is something that you'll hear a bit in this segment is the idea that Donald Trump now is providing political cover for the Republican Party that might have been afraid. I mean, once Donald Trump could win the nomination after the Access Hollywood tape and he could win among evangelicals, it kind of tore the roof off of worrying about any sort of social hypocrisy. So Streichel continued to elaborate on that point.
We have too many states in this country where lawmakers have told me that they're ready to flip the switch. They're seeing the results coming out of the legal markets. They're seeing the benefits, not just on, as politicians, they see the dollars and cents and they want to be able to spend more money. But they're, where the data that's coming out on the reductions of the disparity between enforcement of white and black communities is astounding. And they want to move that forward.
Now, Ethan Thampy out in the Midwest is a Trump supporter who is, of course, positively giddy about this announcement from Donald Trump.
The president is not a loser. He chewed up and spat out 16 opponents in the Republican primary and defeated the most hyped establishment Democratic candidate of all time. And he has taken on issue after issue, and he is winning. His poll numbers are up. He knows this is a winning issue. He's been behind it for a long time. This is something he campaigned on.
So this is something we'll take a look at in the next segment. Is this going to move the Republican leadership to take a better stand on this issue? And how will that turn out exactly?
And your mother was begging Barack to stop.
You know, sometimes the random number generator just brings up the most appropriate quotes. It's 4:20 in the Mountain Time Zone. Time for us to take our union-mandated safety briefing. When we return, more from our cannabis roundtable, including Jody Emery and Chris Goldstein, coming up.
If you work in the cannabis industry, consume marijuana, or just support freedom, you need to know about breaking policy news that affects you. Marijuana Moment is the daily newsletter that helps you stay on top of all the latest and most important state, federal, and international cannabis developments. Brought to you by longtime legalization activist Tom Angel, Marijuana Moment puts a concise yet comprehensive overview of cannabis news in your inbox early every weekday morning. Wake up to Marijuana Moment and rest assured you'll be ready for the cannabis news that's driving the day. Subscribe now at marijuanamoment.net.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Uh-oh. That's just what they'll be expecting us to do.
Learn more at MJAgenda.com. The Marijuana Agenda is a listener-supported independent podcast brought to you by Radical Russ Media, LLC. Subscribe to our VIP feed at MJAgenda.com for access to our ad-free podcast segment archive. Make a one-time donation to support the Marijuana Agenda at paypal.me/radicalruss. Now, in the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Marijuana Agenda presents this anti-drug public service announcement.
They said one hit wouldn't hurt. Said one hit wouldn't hurt. They lied. Get your kids the truth about drugs. Drugfreeworld.org.
This has been an actual anti-drug public service announcement. To combat this and other drug war hysteria, listen to the Marijuana Agenda every weekday at 3 p.m. Pacific at live.mjagenda.com or download the free podcast at mjagenda.com.
Hey everybody, it's Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Hey, the dope!
We don't have any dope.
Then what did I just smoke?
Learn more at MJAgenda.com.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
Activism begins with ACT. The Marijuana Agenda features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists fighting to reform our cannabis laws in this edition of Cannabis Activism Now.
Welcome back. It's Cannabis Activism Now, continuing our 420 special, a look at the shifting politics of marijuana legalization with recent announcements by President Donald Trump to support states' rights to marijuana reform and former Speaker John Boehner getting involved with a cannabis company. And we continue our discussion speaking with five activists. We've heard from Justin Streichel, the political director from Normal, Morgan Fox, the communications director from MPP, and we were last hearing from Eben Thampy, a Trump supporter who has been working in the Midwest on asset forfeiture reform, who is absolutely convinced that Trump is a political genius on this issue and is coming around to states' rights for marijuana because he knows it can help the GOP to retain Congress in 2018.
He knows that in states like Missouri and the states where he did best, you know, medical marijuana reform has, you know, 75% plus support in midterm voters. You know, so he's clearly setting a political signal to Republicans: get in line with my agenda. This is a winning issue. We can do the right thing. And, you know, ahead of a midterm, you know, this party has some races to win.
The political advantage of Republicans taking on the marijuana issue can't be understated. Demographically speaking, Republicans are a shrinking party as the country becomes younger and browner. The more diverse this country is, the more it demographically has been leaning toward Democrats, or at least independents. So the Republican Party has been in desperate need of an issue with which it can attract younger voters, an issue with which it can attract voters who believe in personal liberty, a more libertarian side of its base. And not only do I believe that this might signal a shift on the marijuana issue, this might signal a shift on culture war issues altogether. Again, we note that Donald Trump won election after the Access Hollywood tape and won amongst evangelicals. His support amongst social conservatives and evangelicals is still in the positive territory, despite being anathema to most of what they would have considered, you know, character issues in the past. There's a lot of that owes to something called the flawed vessel theory, this idea that God anointed Donald Trump. He's the flawed vessel that can bring the judges they need to overturn Roe v. Wade or get someone extremely evangelical like Mike Pence in the Oval Office. So there's a lot of that going on in the background. And we may be coming to a point where the evangelicals recognize that bringing the culture war issues to the fore, out in the open, fighting about that kind of stuff, only costs them votes. If they're quiet on that issue, or at least somewhat forward and progressive on those issues, they can get into power where they can limit the ability of people to be able to be free. In the case of marijuana, they might be able to control the way the business rolls out so that it benefits them and their political cronies. The folks in Washington, D.C. see a similar move. They see it similarly. Morgan Fox out at MPP is also seeing Trump's position as a signal, as a way for the GOP to have some cover on the issue.
In terms of its practical effect, obviously it still needs to go through Congress, but I think that this statement provides a lot of cover for skittish Republicans out there who might not have voted for it, particularly some of them in key committee positions.
And Justin Streichel out at Normal has a similar position, pointing out how the power that Trump has over the Republican Party now may be enough to finally dislodge some of these pot-hating senators.
Well, we got Pete Sessions in the Rules Committee. We got Congressman Bob Goodlatte, who is the Republican from Virginia, who's the chair of the Judiciary Committee. And then we got Republican Chuck Grassley, Senator of Iowa, who's the chairman of the Judiciary Committee in the Senate. And, you know, we need to go through those gatekeepers. Now, what those gatekeepers all have in common is they are pro-prohibition, but they are more often talking about how pro they are to Donald Trump.
Now, the switch that's happening in conservative circles here in the United States is also being duplicated somewhat in Canada. The news out of Canada, of course, is that Justin Trudeau and the Liberals won a majority government up there, and Trudeau campaigned on legalizing marijuana in Canada. But the devil's in the details. Now, as this has been rolling out, there have been some problems. So I reached out to Jody Emery. She's the wife of Mark Emery, the seed entrepreneur up there in Canada, Cannabis Culture Magazine, and has become quite the activist and spokesperson in her own right. Jody points out that just because the Liberal government's in charge and they're legalizing marijuana this summer doesn't mean that conservatives aren't getting into the action too.
Oh, actually, the conservatives up here are also getting in on the pot business too, and that's making news all the time. We had a member of parliament named Julian Fantino, a former police chief who was disgraced in every city he was in. He was against marijuana. He said he thought legalizing marijuana was like legalizing murder. And he even said a year ago, I will never, ever put my name on a marijuana business. Well, he did, along with another top cop. So these are not just liberals and left-wingers.
So Canada's legalization is being controlled by the Liberal government. But according to Jody Emery, this is not turning out the way Canadian legalizers had hoped and is instead turning into some kind of big money grab.
When we got the Justin Trudeau Liberal government elected, we thought that legalization would mean the existing industry would be allowed to be legal. But we saw him put a top police chief in charge of the legalization file, Bill Blair. This guy oversaw a massive crackdown on civil liberties with the G20 riots in Toronto. So this big bad cop was put in charge of the pot file. The Liberal Party's chief financial officer of the Canadian Federal Liberal Party started a pot company in the medical marijuana space, which turned into Canopy Growth, the Goliath of the Canadian pot industry movement. And they're all cashing in while the activists and pioneers are sidelined.
And that's a story that we've heard here in America. And I love Jody's line there where she says, we thought legalization meant the current industry would be legal. And that's turning out to not be the case in numerous U.S. states, and both in the medical and the recreational space, where the high barriers to entry, these million-dollar escrows and other restrictions are preventing people who had been employed in this industry in the illicit sense, preventing them from being legal, from being above board. This is a major problem that has to be addressed as we continue legalization. It's a problem that some of us fear that conservatives getting involved in this won't pay heed to. And that brings us back to the United States and John Boehner. John Boehner's joined Acreage Holdings, a company that's got 35 marijuana licenses in 11 states, including Pennsylvania, and 5 out here in Oregon as well. I spoke to my friend Chris Goldstein. He's a longtime activist. He's a federal pot convict, actually. He was convicted of smoking a joint at the Liberty Bell in protest, did 2 years of probation where he had to be absolutely pot-free for 2 years. So he has been under the thumb of the government when it comes to marijuana prohibition. And Goldstein also writes for Philly.com, providing marijuana columns, and teaches is an instructor of a marijuana course at Temple University, longtime Normal, New Jersey, and Philly, Normal activist as well. And Chris has been doing a lot of journalism on East Coast medical marijuana, and he sees what's happening with John Boehner getting involved with Acreage and the more conservative movement overall as something that was incubated in New Jersey by another pot-hating conservative, Chris Christie.
What happened in New Jersey was we saw Chris Christie sort of co-opt the medical marijuana regulation and even advocacy to some regard, while at the same time we saw regular possession arrests skyrocket, and the guy was out there saying that legalization equals blood money. Out of the 6 permit holders, 3 of them were closely aligned with the governor. And when we're talking about people that worked for him for years at the U.S. Attorney's Office and then in the front office in New Jersey's governor.
So from Chris Goldstein's point of view, having seen what happened in New Jersey, where the governor's politically connected friends get all the best licensing, get at the head of the line, he's fearful that that's going to happen on a national scale as people like John Boehner get involved in the marijuana industry.
So, you know, watching John Boehner join the marijuana industry, and by the way, his company owns a permit in Pennsylvania. They sell products for between $65 and $144 a gram.
Oh, my God.
In these dispensaries. So what we've seen, I think, is the when they say they want to have a pharmaceutical model for medical marijuana, I think a lot of people thought that it meant we're just going to put plants into pills. But what's playing out very clearly is the pharmaceutical business model being skinned on to medical marijuana laws and regulations with limited permits in Pennsylvania, Ohio, New Jersey, New York. So when John Boehner announces that he's going to join the medical marijuana industry, that's the picture of what I see going on nationally, is that the GOP wants to have limited permits, sort of state cartel systems, and very, very expensive products for patients. All at the same time, while regular consumers continue to get arrested. That's what I see happening.
So this is where we're at with marijuana legalization, is that for so long, we promoted this as a economic boom, as the next big industry, as a big job creator and profit maker. And now the Republicans have finally heard that message. They finally got the message that there's big money in it. And Jody Emery isn't fooled in her perspective by these politicians, these former officials saying that they've had some sort of evolution on the issue.
We've been working throughout the U.S. and Canada and all around the world to convince politicians and police that we should not be criminalized. Well, one of our arguments as a movement was to talk about how it's a massive industry worth billions of dollars that we should stop criminalizing and stop wasting billions trying to get rid of. Well, the government seems to have taken that as a message that they're missing out on a multi-billion dollar industry that they'd like to cash in on, because prohibition was a cash cow for cops. So too is legalization in many of its forms right now with increased spending.
So folks like John Boehner, they say they've had an evolution on the issue. They've talked to people. Their minds have been changed on the issue. And one wonders, has their mind really changed? Do they still hold on to that can of bigotry? Do they still think of cannabis consumers as potheads or wasteoids? Are they only reserving compassion for non-stereotypical cannabis consumers, the sick grandma with glaucoma, for example? Are they just reacting to the polls that are showing 64% nationwide and realizing they have to mouth these platitudes now, even if they don't believe them, in order to maintain office or to move forward in their corporate career? Jody Emery seems to be on more on that latter position of these guys are just mouthing platitudes to get by.
It really makes people up here in Canada quite upset when we see former premiers, prime ministers, the head of the national policing drug squad. I mean, these people are all moving into the pot industry and saying that it's because they've seen the light. Well, really, we all know they've seen the green, and that's why they're into it. And while I can praise Boehner and all these other guys that are like getting into this industry, they are providing more access in some ways, but they're stealing away the industry from the people who created it. And again, they're trying to cash in and pretend it's for altruistic reasons, when really, if they were altruistic, they'd be volunteering like we all have as activists to stop these unfair harms.
You know, that's something that I brought up when I first heard the Boehner quote, is I'd be more impressed if he had come to it from a position of virtue rather than of greed. But does it matter? If someone's on the right side of legalization, does that matter? Eben Thampy, the Trump supporter, though, is more willing to believe that conservatives actually are having a true heartfelt change of heart on the issue of marijuana.
John Boehner says his mind on this was changed by veterans movements, like, you know, the one that is, you know, American Legion and the VFW and organizations that have supported Dr. Sue Sisley's research. You know, I don't think we should give short shrift to statements like that. You know, these people are showing compassion. Their minds are being changed.
And it remains to be seen, again, that the timing of it is what makes it suspect, is if John Boehner had come out and said this independently of joining the board of a cannabis corporation, then you might be able to take it with a little more good faith. But saying this at the same time as he's joining the board, I've suddenly had a revelation, does make it seem a little suspect. But Thampy is really on the side of American capitalism when it comes down to the bottom line on this one.
I'm all for people. You know, this is America. You know, if you can make money doing something and you're good at it, you know, more power to you is what I say.
But is that the right way for the cannabis industry to go? Does the attraction, the lure of big money mean that we should welcome just anybody into this movement? Money changing people's minds, will that be detrimental to us if we set up a legalization that doesn't address some of the harms the drug war has caused? We'll have more discussion on that with Chris Goldstein's opinion when we return.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Health Cannabinoid, your ACMPR experts. Consultation services for medical cannabis. Visit healthcannabinoid.com or call 1-800-906-1383. That's www.healthcannabinoid.com or call 1-800-906-1383. Health Cannabinoid.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Hi, my name is Ricky Williams.
My name is Evan Britton.
My name is Marcus Stelly.
My name is Boo Williams.
My name is Jim McMahon.
My name is Chris Cluey.
My name is Kyle Turley. I played in one of the major North American football leagues.
I have 2 championship rings from that big game we play at the end of the season.
In college, I won a trophy that looks like this.
I was a punter for 8 seasons, and punters are football players too.
I also wrote the name of the commissioner on my headband, and everyone lost their shit.
The men who play American football are subject to a life of injury,
pain,
and disease,
both during and long after their careers are over.
And that's why I smoke pot.
That's why I smoke cannabis.
That's why I smoke weed. That's why I smoked weed when I played.
It has, without a doubt, reduced the amount of pain I live with.
It's my body. I know.
But for some reason, the major North American non-Canadian football league refuses to allow players to use cannabis.
Instead of allowing for safe, natural healing, the sport pushes players towards addictive, narcotic painkillers with serious side effects.
So let's get real, Roger.
Football players should be allowed to use medicinal marijuana.
Without the stigma of it being a banned substance.
Cannabis isn't a drug.
It is a medicine.
The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville is brought to you by Cannabis Kamikaze, a professional licensed producer from Canada producing 3 pounds per light. Follow Cannabis Kamikaze on Twitter at Cannabis Kamikaze. That's at Cannabis, K-A-M-I-K-A-Z, Cannabis Kamikaze.
Total war against public enemy public number one.
10 federal criminal penalties for up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
Marijuana is probably the most dangerous drug.
Legalization is just another word for surrender.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
This is not medicine. This is a Cheech and Chong show.
Encourage people to use less drugs. Use less
I am ill. That was the point.
I think it would be a mistake to legalize.
Negative reports coming out of Colorado.
Don't smoke marijuana.
We're continuing our 420 special and looking at the shift in the Republican Party, the conservatives, the right wing, however you want to look at it, with Donald Trump coming out strongly in support of marijuana legalization or states' rights to do so, and John Boehner, the former Speaker of the House, getting involved with Acreage Holdings, a major player in the cannabis industry. And as we left off the discussion, we were talking about cannabis and capitalism and how the conservatives that are coming to this issue may be coming to it through simply a position of greed, and they have no concern for the social justice angle of it, no concern for the civil rights angle, no concern for the free and fair trade angles that we should be looking at. And our last voice was Ethan Thampy, who basically said that this is America. If you can make money, go for it. But Chris Goldstein at Philly.com, and a longtime boots on the ground marijuana activist who's done who has been convicted under federal law for possession, disagrees with that and thinks it's time that we take a deeper look at the motives behind these politicians getting involved.
Again, who does legalization matters a whole lot, and who is in charge of the vision for what legalization will look like and the business structures really matters, Russ. We saw this in New Jersey. 6 permits for the whole state. 1/2 of them go to the governor's political appointees. That's not a model I want going nationally.
It's always a tough sell, though, when you come up to this issue and telling people, you know, should they wait? Should you not support somebody? Should you withdraw your support from somebody who supports ending arrests simply because you don't like the capitalism side of it? You don't like the business angle or how that's going to turn out. Can you turn to fellow cannabis consumers and say, sorry, you need to keep risking arrest because the money side of it doesn't work out? And the tough part of that is most people who want marijuana legalized, most people who are at risk of arrest aren't going to be business people. They're not going to be buying and selling the cannabis. So for them saying that, well, we need to make sure that everything is just right for the small sliver of affected people who are going to get on the business side of it, the rest of us have to suffer. That's a tough sell. But Goldstein is pretty adamant about this and saying that this may be a turning point in another way.
I think we could be more selective now. You know, just like cannabis consumers in Philadelphia, like, you never turn down a bag of weed, even though it, like, looks bad and smells bad, whatever. Where are you going to get another one? But consumers in Colorado, if they look at some weed at the dispensary, they're like, I'll pass on that. I'll go to something else. Maybe we should be a little bit more discerning about our marijuana politicians, just like we're discerning about our products.
Now, out at Normal in Washington, D.C., Justin Striegel, the political director, has to take a more practical approach, a more pragmatic approach, and understanding that Normal as an organization is nonpartisan. And the idea, the mission of Normal is to end adult marijuana prohibition. So Normal and Justin Striegel are cautiously optimistic, cautiously accepting of people like Boehner getting into the industry.
It would have been wonderful when if Speaker Boehner had made this evolution in thoughts in his tenure when he had more influence over the law. But at the end of the day, we have two options. We can sit here and we can look back and we can point fingers and we can be mad about past actions, or we can be frank and candid about how we're going to move forward to end the practice of criminalization. And I will take support from wherever it is coming from, as long as our end solutions are similar.
And that's the caveat in this, supporting these politicians, welcoming them in. I feel there's a bit of this where you're attracting more flies with honey than vinegar. And the idea being, let's get these Republicans, these right wingers on board with legalization because they're greedy about it. And once they're on board with it, then we start to shape and direct their lawmaking and their policymaking in the right direction.
If and when Senator Gardner actually puts his name on legislation, that legislation is going to adequately address the problems, not just of the cannabis industry and their concern for federal enforcement of prohibition, but to address the collateral consequences that have been felt by millions of citizens through the decades of prohibition.
Out at Marijuana Policy Project, Morgan Fox, the communications director, is also seeming to want to give the benefit of the doubt to these conservatives who say they've evolved on the issue.
Well, for some people, I'm sure it's the promise of eventual profit or the knowledge that this is a burgeoning industry that's going to be worth, you know, tens of billions of dollars over the next few years. But I would like to think that it's also because they've just had an evolution on how they think about this. And it's just unfortunate that it always tends to come after they've already gotten out of office.
Yeah, so many of them, Bill Clinton, Eric Holder, so many politicians, they get out of office and then suddenly they're vocally for marijuana legalization. And when it comes to Donald Trump, him being for this issue is also something to take with a grain of salt, considering all the other issues he said he's been for at one point, only to flip-flop on that issue. So Fox is willing to concede that this could just be all talk.
I think that it would make Trump look bad politically and weaken his position if his if he was able to get nominees through and then they immediately started cracking down. But it's a possibility.
And I asked Fox, you know, what would we do what if Trump is playing bait and switch here? What if Trump is saying he'll go along with legalization long enough to get the nominees past Gardner? And then once the nominees are in position, renege on the deal and not support any legalization going through, or just rely on the prohibitionists in the Senate, in the House, in those committees to stop it. And then he can say, look, I did my part. I held up my end of the bargain, but Congress didn't hold up their end of the bargain. And ultimately, Fox believes that that's something that will really be up to us to hold them accountable.
Having those voices added to the chorus is definitely a net positive. We just need to make sure to hold people's feet to the fire when they do that, to make sure that, you know, they actually can make up for some of the damage that they may have done while they were in office and opposing the policies that they now plan to profit off of.
Now, as this shift is happening, we've been talking about the conservative side, whether they really mean it or not. The other side of the issue, though, the other side of the aisle, brings us to the Democrats, who traditionally have been the ones to look to on this issue as champions. And there are some younger Democrats that are doing well on the issue and bringing up the social and racial justice issues. But as Goldstein looks at the issue, he thinks this is an issue the Democrats are clearly losing.
The Democrats have been played to absolutely played by the Republicans on this, 100%. And you can see that with Governor Wolf in Pennsylvania. I mean, how is it that John Boehner gets to sell $144 a gram hash oil in Reading, Pennsylvania, and Governor Wolf is literally still in wait and see on full legalization? You know, that's the Democrats have really been played here, Russ, and I think this should be a wake-up moment for them.
And it's frustrating, too, because it's the Democrats we see in leadership all born before 1950, you know, the Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders. And well, Bernie Sanders is pretty good on the issue, but Joe Biden and Hillary Clinton and even some of the younger ones, Kamala Harris is sometimes waffly on this issue, although Goldstein is willing to give them some credit.
I mean, Democrats have been winning on this too, Russ. You know, Governor Murphy won on legalization in New Jersey. Ro Khanna is constantly talking about how it's a boon to any candidate who's running for office. Now, the real question is, will the GOP steal that marijuana momentum for an all-important midterm election this year and continue that forward? And will Democrats be left in the dust?
And that really is the heart of the issue here, the 2018 midterm elections approaching, and the concern, you know, for those who are concerned about Donald Trump and having any check on his power, it's vital that Democrats take control of at least the House of Representatives. And there are some who are starting to look at this, again, as giving cover to the GOP to come out as pro-marijuana, take this off the table as a wedge issue, maybe even bring some people into the voting booth for Republican candidates as being in support of marijuana legalization, or at least medical marijuana. Now, Goldstein's out in Philly. He's out in New Jersey, out there in the East Coast, where it's very reliably blue. Same for Morgan Fox and Justin Streichel, working and living in Washington, D.C., where politics are very liberal. Eben Thampy, the Midwestern activist, is in Missouri, a state that's very red, that voted for Donald Trump. And he brings up the point that conservative Republicans in his state are becoming the champions of medical marijuana.
You know, I'm going to give you a quote that was published today in the Kansas City Star by a conservative Republican, three-term lawmaker, Army veteran, and doctor who is sponsoring medical marijuana legislation in the Missouri General Assembly. And he has a great quote in this article. And what he says is, some would say we need recreational marijuana, and I think it's already recreational because it's everywhere. I sure hate seeing people locked up incarcerated as a result of drug use. We've got to find a better way of dealing with this. You know, and this is a very conservative Republican who's spearheading the charge for medical marijuana here in the state of Missouri.
Now, for years, I have made this point. I have made the point that when it comes down to what these two parties are supposed to believe in, not their actions, but what the parties claim to believe in, marijuana legalization falls more neatly into the conservative worldview. Conservatives have been saying for years they support states' rights, they support individual responsibility, they're against wasteful government spending, they want to cut ineffective government programs. I mean, that all breaks down to a conservative worldview. And then you throw $75 billion industry by 2030 on top of that cake. And that's just, you know, right there, smack dab in the middle of the conservative or the Republican worldview. And even Thampy agrees with that and thinks that the conservative values, where it used to be a moral issue, a issue of hating the hippies and the leftists, thinks that their perspective is starting to change.
I think there really is a different perspective on how conservatives are addressing these issues and is out there in the, you know, in the media and in popular perception. But we're showing it here in the state of Missouri.
But before those of us in the United States start to think, well, maybe we need to worry about Republicans taking over the issue, and maybe it would be better off if Democrats, leftists, progressives were in charge of the issue, we get a perspective from Jody Emery with Cannabis Culture up there in Canada. Now, Justin Trudeau won the election, and the Liberals, the Liberal Party up there is in charge, but Emery is warning that the left taking charge of marijuana might not be that good a situation either.
So many strange and mixed emotions that come out of this, because on the one hand, we're being validated and legitimized. The opponents that we've fought against for so long are basically admitting that we were right. However, they're not trying to let us take part in the industry. They're not trying to create an inclusive industry. They're not apologizing for the lives that they ruined. They're not apologizing for the communities they've devastated. They're not even saying that they want to get into this to fix the social justice crisis issues related to cannabis prohibition. So I wouldn't be as upset with other people like cops and politicians and big business getting into the pot industry if they were apologizing for the harm they did and working to correct those harms. And if we ordinary citizens were allowed an equal opportunity to participate.
That's something that I brought up when I first heard the news of John Boehner. Is it's nice that he's mouthing all these platitudes, but to do so without even a simple, sorry, I locked y'all up, is a little self-serving. And to me, just indicates that maybe this evolution isn't as deep as it is advertised. And Jody Emery also points out that the Trudeau government up there, which you'd think would be a liberal government, is making the same kind of mistakes that Bill Clinton made in the 1990s with his crime bill.
The good part of the American system, as opposed to Canada, you do have Trump, who's very powerful, but that's the role of the president. But here in Canada, when a person like Trudeau wins office and they win a majority government instead of a minority government, they become a dictator, which means every bill they introduce, they get passed. So we're seeing omnibus crime bills going through. We're seeing police won't be forced to testify anymore. They're getting rid of people's ability to challenge evidence against them. We have a serious criminal justice crisis up here in Canada, including driving laws related to cannabis and beyond.
So no matter which party is in charge, whether they come at it from the left or come at it from the right, we have to be diligent as cannabis consumers and activists to direct their actions to addressing some of these social harms, the harms to society that prohibition has enacted, especially on communities of color, throughout the past 40, 50, 80 years of prohibition. When we see governments from the left, like Justin Trudeau up in Canada, approach this, we see them approaching it with far too much overregulation, far too much nanny state concern, far too much burden of high bar to clear as far as getting involved in the industry, having to have the right connections. And then on the conservative side, on the right, as Chris Goldstein pointed out in New Jersey, we see crony capitalism taking over, where the best politically connected people are involved, and a type of medical marijuana regulation that keeps the prices inexorably high, and again, creates so much regulatory burden that it's impossible for the people who've been a part of this industry for so long to participate in it in a legal fashion. We'll continue this discussion in Toker Talk Radio coming up next for our VIP subscribers. $4.20 a month at MJAgenda.com gets you all the goodies.
Follow MJ Agenda on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, YouTube, and follow MJ Agenda Show on Twitter. Learn more at MJAgenda.com.
Everyone here at Delta9House.com, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
You plant it, you grow it, you try it, you own it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.